Hello, I'm Bruce Reynolds from Reynolds Communication. The following podcast is an initiative of the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries Dairy Industry Group. Today I'm talking with Bill Fokkerson, who's a field officer with Norco Cooperative based at Lismore in northern New South Wales. Well, Bill, tell us a bit about the range of forage-based work that you've been involved with over the years with the Future Dairy Project.
Our initial aim was to try and break the ceiling of what pastures could actually produce us. We'd done a lot of work on looking at the different ways of managing pastures, optimal time to graze, etc. But even then, you know, you hit a ceiling of about 20, 22 tonnes of dry matter per hectare, even under the most ideal conditions. So to try and break through that, I guess we started to look at multiple cropping, and the inspiration, I guess, came to me from the old work of people like Jethro Toll and the initial pioneers of agriculture, where they believed in multiple cropping or complementary cropping. In other words, where one crop helped to grow the other crop, and that's really where we started from.
What did you find then?
During the summer, and that was really maize, and you really can't beat maize for total bulk and water use efficiency. And then in the autumn, we'd actually oversow the stubble of that with a brassica crop, and that provided very early good quality feed in the autumn. For the first grazing, we'd actually oversow that with either shaft or clover or some other legume, so that it provided a free nitrogen source as a fixed nitrogen from the atmosphere. So those three complemented each other, I guess.
What did you find then with productivity improvements?
Well, in the first phase of Future Dairy, we set a target of producing 42 tonne of dry matter per hectare, and we really achieved that sort of with paddock scale comparisons. They weren't plot studies, they were just grazing and harvesting at the paddock scale, and we were quite happy with that.
Did you find that the dairy industry on the north coast and mid-north coast looked at implementing it in any way?
Since I've left Future Dairy, they've worked a good deal with farmers in the Hunter Valley, and I think some of those have tested that system. Also on the north coast, there's been parts of that, and a couple of farmers have actually looked at that, and they've got very high yields. The issue with it is it's really a fairly complex system. You really have to be very well managed. You know, you've got about 1 or 2 weeks between one crop and the other, and if things don't go right, you know, you just don't make it. And you also, obviously, to get those sort of yields, need irrigation as a backup as well.
What, if any, new research questions did this project actually bring up?
Probably it did bring up quite a lot of research questions. I mean, it was a whole farm question of what's the optimal proportion of each of these crops to put in? How do you establish them in this sort of a system? That was another one, because obviously the trouble is when you're putting in three crops a year, not only is it time delicate, but you also just can't afford to plough up three times, for instance. So we had to look at actually direct drilling or broadcasting each of those crops rather than actually ploughing conventionally and sowing.
Was this a reason, therefore, why the concept of the Future Dairy Project came together?
The foragers part, yes. It was to try and, first of all, prove that we could get those sort of yields, which was fairly doubtful at the beginning, and if we could, whether it was economic and environmentally and economically sustainable. Yeah, those main issues. And if you do something like that, what are the challenges and what are the pitfalls?
Well, from an economic point of view, was it viable to produce that 40 tonne to the hectare?
Yes, I think it was. I think that since then there's been a fair bit of economic analysis done on the Camden study, but also on some of the farms in the Hunter, and I think it is. The issue is, though, that, you know, the conditions have to be right. You need to have the right skills to do it. It's certainly not for everybody, and it's certainly not in every situation. You know, you have to have the right land, and you have to have irrigation, etc.
What about the environmental impact of pushing the production system that hard?
We address those issues by things like trying to minimise soil disturbance, by carefully monitoring just to see what sort of nutrient inputs we need to have onto the farm. And also the most recent studies by some of the students there also monitored the sort of losses, I guess, or the nutrient balances within a farmlet system that was using that sort of a system.
Well, what do you see then as some of the future challenges for the dairy industry?
Obviously, apart from things like milk price and marketing arrangements, which are pivotal, if you can't get a return, you know, it's a real challenge. I think some of the other big things, though, are probably labour and lifestyle issues, and that's really why we looked at the second component of Future Dairy, which was to try and automate the milking process, because that's the thing that creates the problems with getting skilled labour and also lifestyle issues in terms of unsociable hours of work and conditions, etc.
You've come up with some fairly exciting technologies that you've identified, particularly on the pasture side, through the dairy project, the Future Dairy project. How do you see these technologies contributing, though, to the dairy farm of the future?
One of the big things, I think, is going to be labour and lifestyle. That obviously lends itself to automation, and certainly in Europe and everywhere else, the simple box robotic milkers have really taken off, and in some countries, half the new dairy is being built at the moment in countries like Sweden and Holland and everything robotic. What we tried to do at Future Dairy was to actually take that robotic system and make it more suitable for the large herds and pasture-based systems. And that's really what has developed. We've developed a rotary robotic system where you can milk a lot more cows through, and some of the incredible, you know, work that they've done, Kendra Davis and her group on that at Camden, has shown that you can very efficiently and effectively use robotic milking in a pasture-based system.
So if you close your eyes and in 30 years' time, robots doing the milking, what else do you see as the future dairy in, say, 30 years?
I think we'll end up doing a lot more sort of monitoring of the operations, you know, of the pasture growth, of the feed input and the cow performance and things like that. And I guess a lot more use of computer programs and things like that, you know, which is sort of second nature to young people that are now entering the industry. Whereas with the older people, they're sort of, like myself, a little bit scared of it.
What about genetics? Do you see that there is a future role there for genetics to improve the performance and productivity of the dairy industry?
Yeah, there probably is. You know, I think it depends which way the industry really goes. You know, if we go towards more intensive feedlot feeding, well, then I guess we can rely on genetics come out of America, etc. But if we want to try and refine and optimise our pasture-based system, there's probably room there to get cows that are more suited to pasture-based farming.
For this podcast and many more podcasts, fact sheets and videos, I encourage you to visit the New South Wales DPI website and click on Dairy.